We have several prayer requests this morning. This first one is for Libby Unruh, who's having surgery this morning to remove part of her thyroid, where tests revealed that she had cancer. And Libby is just such a beautiful young Christian lady. I can't remember her exact age, but she's 24, 25 years old, and just precious in the sight of God and everybody who knows her. So we want to pray for that whole procedure and that they will get all that they need to get of the cancer. And then we want to pray for the family of Emmett McCree, who passed to his final resting place yesterday. And then for the family of Vita Ray Smith, who went to be with the Lord this past Saturday.
All right. Thank you, Neva. Let's have a time of prayer. Gracious and holy God, we come to you with prayer requests on our hearts. We come to you acknowledging that you are the creator of the universe and the one who knows us by name. Today, we specifically pray for some of our brothers and sisters. We pray for Libby Unruh. God, we just ask that you use your knowledge and give it to the doctors and nurses to help with healing her body. We also pray for the family of Emmett. And we just pray, God, that his family is reminded of your love and your grace. And we also pray for the family of Vita Ray Smith. Lord, anytime we have loss or grief, it makes all of us ask those questions of things like mortality and what's next. I just pray that you remind them of the hope that is found in you. And for that, I am thankful. We also want to pray for, is it Kyson? For Kyson, who's in the hospital. And we just pray, Lord, whatever's going on with Kyson, that your healing hand is upon him and be with his family. And just, again, we pray this with all these prayer requests. Sometimes we know the people and sometimes we don't. And sometimes we just know them by name. But one of the things we truly believe in is that you know. And we ask that your will be done. And so, God, we lift all these prayer requests and the prayer requests that are on all of our hearts this morning. We pray those in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. I got to turn my mic back on, y'all. Our sponsor for this morning is Prophetic Voice Ministries. They're located at 616 North Locust Avenue here in Elk City. If you do not have a church home, I want to encourage you to go visit Apostle Casey Elliott. Also, Joshua's Crossing Ministries, located at the Promise Center here in Elk City. They're also one of our Facebook sponsors. And please continue to pray for Mr. German. And Crosscut Creations by Pastor Joe Thompson. If you would like some custom designs in wood, please contact Pastor Joe at 580-243-8635. Stay tuned, y'all. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Whether you've been thinking about sizing down or have some land or home you want to sell, Grants Auction and Realty should be your first choice. Maybe you have an estate that needs to be liquidated. Grants Auction and Realty will get you the best price. Grants Auction is your complete liquidation professional. Grants Auction lots and catalogs every item. They don't charge you more, they just make you more. Grants Auction and Realty, 580-225-0269, or find them on the web at www.grantsauction.com.
Hello, this is Rick Spain with Spain's Construction with something to think about. The source of your guidelines is something that should be examined. It has to be greater than the latest, greatest fad. Our world turns on popular opinion. We tend to want what everyone else has. You can choose what you want, but you cannot choose the consequences of what you want. Guidelines will help you make the right choice. The source of your guidelines will determine what your life produces.
Love your ride. Today at Bardice and Ford of Elk City, Western Oklahoma's auto headquarters. For the next 2 weeks, we're celebrating the love of all Ford SUVs. Broncos, Edges, and Expeditions, all in stock and as low as 0% for 60 months, plus customer cash. And new units arriving daily. Come experience the Bardice and difference of the largest selection, friendliest people, and award-winning customer service. Only at BardiceandFord.net.
Edge SEL stock number T16297. Expedition Limited stock number T60138. Broncos Sports stock number T16308. WAC through Ford Credit Financing. 0% APR for 60 months at $1,667 per month. Per $1,000 financed. Exclusions apply. See dealer for details.
And we're back. You are tuned into the Hour of Power this morning. It is the most powerful hour of my day. Our guest today is Pastor Scott Rogers. His title is Turn Fishing into Reaching.
All right. So we did the first half of the program, and we talked about God's blessings, God reaches out to us. Then we talked about how we reach back to God by saying yes. So how do we then turn that into reaching one another? Well, that's where Luke 5 story comes in. So in Luke 5, Peter and the bunch have been out all night fishing. And it's important that we understand the backdrop to this story. Peter is a commercial fisherman, okay? This is how he makes his livelihood. It is most likely how his father and his father before him made their livelihoods, all by the Lake of Gennesaret. By the way, don't get confused. Lake of Gennesaret and Sea of Galilee, same place. But this is a body of water that Peter knows. Now, again, I'm not a fisherman, but I talk to a lot of fishermen. And there are certain ponds and lakes that they just know. You know, they know when to fish it, how to fish it, when not to fish it, right? And this would have been that for Peter. Peter knew the Sea of Galilee. Well, that particular night, they got skunked. They didn't get anything. And I read that and I think about those days when I just it's time to go home and I'm like, okay, today just didn't happen. I will start again tomorrow. I need to go home. You know what I mean? You've had those days, right? I think that's where Peter was. He's like, we've been out all night. We didn't catch anything. And so he's just out cleaning his nets. Well, Jesus walks up and gets in his boat and starts teaching and preaching. That's fine. As long as he leaves me alone, right? And then Jesus says to Peter, he says, Peter, let's put out in the deep and throw your nets in for a catch. Now, look, I just need to be very clear here. I'm going to add some things here. So this is not biblical, but it could be. Should have been. So, you know what a thought bubble is? So I think this is what Peter's thought bubble said. Jesus needs to stay in his lane.
Come on.
He needs to stay with the teaching and the preaching. Let me deal with the fishing. Doesn't he know I've been out all night? I believe that. Because of his answer. He actually, to Peter's credit, I will give him some credit. He actually says to Jesus, hey, look, Jesus, we've been out all night, man, and we haven't caught anything. But then he says, but because you said so, we'll go do it. And there it is. Now, this is not the faith story of Abraham. You know, God says go and Abraham went. This is about the smallest sliver of faith you can have. Okay, Jesus, because you said so.
Come on.
But boy, do I wonder how many things could be accomplished in this world if we just did because Jesus said so. Because I think about the things Jesus says. Things like, take care of the least, the lost, the lonely. What if we did that just because Jesus said so?
Come on.
Or take care of those who are sick just because Jesus said so. And you know, I feel for Peter because he probably did know better. He's a fisherman. That's his lake. That's his area. And I think about that because sometimes we think we know better. Jesus, there's just nobody in our town who doesn't go to church. Yep. Jesus, there's nobody in our community that is hungry. There's nobody in our church that feels alone. Jesus, we've been out all night fishing. We didn't catch anything. See, sometimes I think we know better. Remember here, we're dealing with the God who put the stars in the heaven here, but we know better. But that little sliver of faith changes everything. They put out into the deep, throw the nets in, and not only do they start catching fish, but they catch so many fish that their nets begin to break. And so they call in their buddies, James, John, and some of the other boats that come out, and they start filling their nets, and they start filling the boats, and they fill the boats so much that the boats began to sink. And I have to say, I can't help but hear another verse in my head. The one that says that the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. You see, they didn't just catch fish. They didn't even just catch some fish or a lot of fish. They caught an abundance of fish. They caught more fish than they knew what to do with. All because of that little sliver of yes. Okay, Jesus, we'll go because you said so. Well, Peter's response is classic. I mean, classic. I mentioned Isaiah earlier. It sounds a lot like Isaiah when you have Isaiah's call in Isaiah 6. But Peter's response is, Lord, I am a sinful man. Because what he's just watched is nothing short of a miracle. And you can almost see him say, I'm a sinful man. I'm just a fisherman. How could I see this? I'm just a fisherman. And I have to say, I think for me, it comes back to a thing that I hear a lot. Well, I'm just a this. I'm just a teacher, or I'm just an office worker, or I'm just a receptionist, or I'm just a radio host, or I'm just a pastor, or I'm just a street cleaner, or I'm just a baseball coach, or I'm just a, as if that's not enough, or as if there's something wrong with that. That's what's beautiful is God already knows what you do. God already knows where you're planted. God knows what you do, why you do, and how you do. God knew Peter is a fisherman. James and John, his buddies, were fishermen. They caught fish. They did it not just for their own families, but it was a commercial business. That's how they survived. It's how they made money. It's how they bartered. It's how they lived. He wasn't just to anything. Peter's a fisherman. And what Jesus does is he says, don't just be a fisherman. You're not just a fisherman. You're a fisherman.
Come on.
And because of that, I want you to fish for people. I want you to turn that fishing into reaching. It's very incredible to me. Jesus puts it in words that Peter can completely understand. Now, he might not understand the scope of it. That's another day, another program. But he puts it in words that Peter understands. He doesn't talk bowling to a fisherman, right? He doesn't talk baseball to a football player. He talks fishing to a fisherman. And that is incredible because Jesus met Peter right where Peter is, exactly who Peter is. And he said, not only is that that's more than enough to go and reach people for me. You remember at the beginning of the program, I said one of the things I've always was intrigued by when I look backwards is where God used what I enjoyed or who I was and used that for ministry. When I've interviewed candidates for ministry and they, you know, come up with excuses and stuff, and then they come back around, they go, well, you know, I was doing this and God used that and that opened a door. See, that's normal. Now that's not maybe the most exciting. It doesn't get, you know, maybe it's not going to get you to write a book or something, but that's the way I think it normally works, is that God uses you right where you are for whatever you're doing. I told you you'd laugh at this one, but, So, you know, you and I've talked about it even off air. I like wrestling. It's one of my little vices. I enjoy pro wrestling. Well, I found a group of guys at my last church who enjoyed watching wrestling. And so we actually made t-shirts up. It was dumb. But we made t-shirts up and we had our own group, right? But we would meet to watch the pay-per-views. But it turned into a place where we had prayer for one another. We'd watch matches and we would talk, you know, how, you know, sometimes there's a lull in wrestling, but we would talk and I found out more about those men's lives watching wrestling. Use something that I enjoy doing and turn that into an incredible ministry. They're still meeting, by the way, even though I've moved, they're still meeting. Tell me that's not incredible. But that's what God does. That's why when people say, well, I'm just to this or just to that, you are this and you are that. Because wherever you are, whatever you're doing, that's exactly where God can use you. Now, are there extraordinary times that God might say, yes, I need you to go be a missionary in blank? Yes. Or may call you out to be a pastor, yes, or something like that. Yes, it is entirely possible. But the normal way, the ordinary, and by the way, most of the ones in Scripture were ordinary, is to call you right where you are and to turn what you do into an opportunity to reach. For Peter, it was to turn fishing into reaching. When he calls the tax collector, Matthew, he leaves his stuff behind and he begins to help people rather than steal from people right where he was. Paul uses all of his great influence to persecute the church, uses all of that knowledge being a Pharisee and a Roman citizen and turns that into becoming the messenger to the Gentiles. This is how God works. He turns fishing into reaching. He turns radio broadcasting into reaching. He turns you know, gardening into reaching, whatever it might be. But that's because God is in and blesses all sorts of things. And that's because God is in and around and calls us into all sorts of things. And God is looking for that one little sliver of faith. Okay, Jesus, just because you said so. That little bit of yes can turn into an astronomical amount. Because before you let this go, And before you go, I don't know about that, just remember that little sliver of yes. Remember, he threw out the deep because, okay, Jesus, we've been working all night, but because you say so, we'll do it. That little sliver of faith, Peter became the rock on whom the church is built. And for 2,000 years, that faith has been passed down from generation to generation, disciple to a disciple, apostle to apostle, and is still being passed on today. That little itty bitty sliver of faith. We're not talking about, yes, Jesus, I'll do it. We're talking about, okay, Jesus. That sliver of faith changes the world. That sliver of faith changes the world. Because if that's where God is calling you, if that's where God has planted you, then that is where God will equip you. Mm-hmm. That is where God will empower you. And that is where God will send you to turn whatever you're doing into reaching. For Peter, turning fishing into preaching. Now, we have just a few minutes left, but I don't want to miss this. One of the fears that I have, and I don't mind admitting to it, is that oftentimes I have felt it. I know people who are in ministry have felt it. And if you... And really, if at any level, if you're doing something for the Lord, sometimes you can feel this way. You can kind of feel like it's me against the world, or I feel really alone at times. Like, you know, is anybody going with me? Is anybody doing it? You know, you can get that way. It's real. It's a real thing. But there's a little throwaway in the text. You know, one of the things that I tell my own church is when you read Scripture and it looks like a verse is a throwaway, you really should kind of look at it again. So in the story in Luke 5, clearly the main point is when Jesus, the climax of that story is when Jesus says to Peter, go and be a fisher of people, right? Go fish for people, right? That's in verse 10 of Luke 5. But in that little section, there's actually a verse 11. And I can be honest with you, I've until recently had never seen verse 11. I mean, I've read it, but you know, when you get to the fishers of men, I mean, as a preacher, there's not much better, right? I mean, there's so many things you can do with fishers of men, fishers of people, right? But there's another verse. And in that verse, I'm gonna read it for you very quickly. Let me bring it up here on my phone. Oh, I don't have it. Get up on your...
Sure.
Or you read it. Read it. Read verse 11 for us, Monica.
Luke 5:11. So they pulled their boats up on shore, left everything, and followed him.
Okay. I think you read it wrong, though. Read it one more time.
So they pulled their boats up on shore, left everything, and followed him.
Are you sure?
That's what it says, brother.
You see, I would have expected it to say, and Peter left his boat and followed Jesus. But you notice it's plural, right?
Come on.
They?
Come on.
You see, James and John... Remember, they were out there, fishers of Capernaum, right? They were out there with him. Remember, earlier in the text, if you go back up here and look, it says when Peter called out that they needed more boats, who came out there? James and John. You see, one of the most incredible things is that this multiplies. This sometimes gets thrown away. We kind of miss it. We just assume, well, Peter went. No. They.
Come on.
And those three actually sort of become the initial unit. And remember, by the way, this initial unit would start the disciples, and the disciples would eventually go on and set up the church, right? But those three,
come on,
you might remember, show up again at the Mount of Transfiguration. They show up again in the Garden of Gethsemane. the highest of highs and the lowest of lows. But do you notice that they always seem to do it together? You see, one of the greatest pieces of turning fishing into reaching, I mentioned a minute ago, you don't have to do it alone because you have God, but you also have one another. To me, that is empowering. Because sometimes ministry can be overwhelming. I'm the first one to tell you that. I've had moments in my 22 years of pastoral ministry that I just sat in my chair and thought, I can't do this anymore. I've been there. Shoot, I was there last week. But there are moments where you literally are there, right? I've watched lay people in the church who've led a ministry, and it just became overwhelming. And you have a choice to make. You can either quit or you fight through it. But one of the things that I know I have forgotten, and it's just like anything else, you know, when something doesn't go our way, we tend to pull back when really that's the time we should lean in, you know. Peter, James, and John give us the example how to lean in. Because Peter would have, you realize in this story, right? Peter would have died if James and John hadn't been there because the boat was sinking. Had they not been able to offload the extra fish, that boat would have sank. Oh, wait a minute. God gives us air and water and all the stuff that we said that was gonna, gravity, things that keep us alive. Well, sometimes providing one another keeps us alive.
Come on.
Sometimes doing things together keeps us alive and keeps us fresh and keeps us passionate because the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Boy, do I wish someday the workers would be plenty and the harvest not so much. But that's just not the way it works. The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. And those workers need one another. And so James and John turn their fishing into reaching. Matthew turns his tax collecting into reaching. You know, we see this all throughout history. Paul turns his persecuting into reaching. What are you going to turn into reaching? What is your fishing to reaching story? Where are you right now? Where is your great passion? And how might God use that to reach other people? What is it that you like doing? Because sometimes God just might use what you like doing to reach people.
Come on.
It's not always, oh my gosh, God's going to ask me to do something horribly hard. Sometimes God just wants to use what you're doing. If God could use basketball and wrestling for me,
come on.
Man, God can use just about anything for ministry. And so that, I think, is the challenge that comes through this, is what is my turning fishing to reaching story? So maybe today you're sitting at home and thinking, well, maybe I don't have a job, or maybe I'm working and I'm, or I'm about to go to work and I'm watching a program, or maybe I'm doing something at church, or maybe, whatever it is you're doing. I really want you to ask yourself, how can what I'm doing be turned into reaching? And just see if God might be in the midst of that. And if God is in the midst of that, say yes. Even if it's just a sliver of, okay, Jesus, I'll do it because you said so. Let God use that sliver of faith to truly transform the world. Because that's what happened at the beginning of this story. This little story is the beginning of what will be the church, of which we are part of. Pretty incredible story. Turning fishing into reaching.
Amen. Wow. I'm going to have to go back and watch this again. I want to marinate in it some more. I want to soak it all up like a sponge. You have been tuned into the Hour of Power this morning, y'all. And I'm going to say it again. It is the most powerful hour of my day. So from myself, Monica Lovell, from Ms. Neva Pyatt, and from Pastor Scott Rogers, y'all have a blessed day, and we'll see you tomorrow.
Let us pray, let us pray. We hope today's edition of the Hour of Power has been encouraging and uplifting for you and your family. If you have a prayer request you would like to send after the program, email us at hourofpower@cableone.net. You're listening to a broadcast produced daily, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. on therockchristianmusic.com. Download the app. It's called The Rock Christian Music, and take us with you everywhere.